Okay. As usual, the same structure for the class as every week. I'm going to begin by continuing a little further the history of British cinema for about 25 minutes, half an hour. Secondly, we will have a look at an extract from a film, and you'll have some questions to look at. And then I want to look in more detail at this particular kind of film. Don't forget that next week you have a test. Yeah? Yes. It begins at the beginning, and it goes through the middle, and goes towards the end. Yes. I'll show you an extract from a film, and I hope there will be some questions. You will have to show that you are able to put the film into the context, both historical and the themes. Yeah? You will say, "Oh, well, this is typical, and it's similar to this," or, "Oh, this is not typical, and it's different from this," et cetera. That's not very precise, but I'm doing what I can. I haven't written it yet. Okay. The story, the history side of it first. I took you up to. Are you with us? When everybody's ready. I took you up to the 1960s last week. In the thematic series of films so far, we have looked at the traditional view of Britain, and the golden age of aristocratic Britain, and to some extent, last week, we were looking at working-class Britain. Let's have a look at the 1960s. One of the more impressive films of the 1960s is a film which comes out in 1968 called If. Interesting title, very short title, of course. The title has two meanings, really. First of all, If is a very famous poem by Rudyard Kipling, which defends all the values of the British Empire. In this particular film, you will see an English private school with very well-educated young men who believe in the empire and so on. At the end of the film, one of the young people will take a gun and kill everybody in the school. It's a very sort of violent, allegorical film about values and the British Empire and so on. This is Lindsay Anderson, who will be then quite famous for this particular film will be extremely popular, extremely famous.
What is the other meaning for If?
Well, the other meaning is it's just a word like if, you know. If, you know. It's like, let us imagine what would happen. Yeah. Okay. It's a kind of. It's a fantasy. It's a violent fantasy against the values of the establishment. It's addressed at a. Rather typical in a way, because this is the 1960s, yes. Young people's rebellion is in. Yeah. The Who are singing, "I hope I die before I get old." Yeah. The slogan of The Who in the 1960s. This is partly in the same line, although cinema in general is much less connected to rebellion than music. Music is much more connected to young people and to rebellious ideas than cinema, partly because if you want to make a film, you need a lot of money. If you want to make a song, you don't need so much. Here we are in the 1960s. This is the time of swinging London on BBC Early Fox. Swinging London, yes. London was the place to be for fashion, the music, the mods, the rockers, and so on. Quite a number of the films made at this time are made by foreign directors who come to London to work. I'm not going to talk about those. I'm going to talk about the British directors. One of the most important elements in the next generation of British directors is the television. All the entire generation of directors, for example, Ken Loach, Ken Russell, Stephen Frears, these are the most important directors of the 1970s, the 1980s, the 1990s. All of them will begin working in television. working for the BBC. Okay, they're very, very important, yeah? Very, very difficult to get into film, of course. It's a little easier if you begin by getting a name for yourself, if you begin by getting a reputation in the television, and the BBC will play an important role. Firstly, because they will commission television films and... sorry, you have to drink it first and then come back. Okay. First of all, because they will commission quality drama for television. In particular, there is a series on the BBC called The Wednesday Play. And this is theatre for television. Du théâtre filmé. Ça n'existe quasiment plus, le théâtre filmé. But at the time, The Wednesday Play was serious drama for the BBC. And this was very adventurous at the time, because most people believed that the television could not be serious, really, at the time. And it was not respected. Even today, même aujourd'hui, il y a beaucoup de gens qui disent « j'aime le cinéma, mais les téléfilms, ça vaut rien. » That's a very common attitude, yeah? And so, at the time, there was some serious attempt by the BBC to put drama on television. And these people will begin in the BBC. Ken Loach begins in a police television series, writing a police television series called Zed Cars, very famous. Famous music. Na 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 na. That's the Zed Cars. Ken Loach begins there. All of these people begin in television. And of course, the other British team who will be working in television at this time are the Monty Python team. The Monty Python team will begin on the BBC, and of course they will later produce some of the most successful British films, whether it be The Meaning of Life, The Life of Brian, A Fish Named Wanda, all of those films. Okay, so what else is going on here? What are the famous films? What are the important films? Well, 1964, a very remarkable film called Billy Liar the story is... about a young man who is a compulsive liar. He cannot stop himself from lying. He has three girlfriends and he tells them all a different story. You know him? Yes, okay. That was very successful film. 1966, interesting film, The War Game. And The War Game was written for the BBC by Peter Watkins. This is a British director who will become, again, famous later. He will write much later a very long film about the Paris Commune. But he writes this film, The War Game, and The War Game shows Britain after a nuclear war. Yeah, it shows Britain after a nuclear war. A very frightening film. Remember, this is the period when the campaign against nuclear weapons is very powerful. And so The War Game, and the BBC gives the money to make this film, but then the BBC decide not to show it, and the film is shown for the first time on the BBC in 1985. Yes, so it is censored for 20 years, The War Game, by Peter Watkins. We're moving to the end of the 1960s, and Ken Loach is beginning to produce some of the films which we saw. Kes is 1970. The first famous film of Ken Loach is Kathy Come Home. Kathy Come Home, this is 1966. And this is the story of a poor young woman who has nowhere to live. Story about homelessness. And it is very shocking at the time. At the time, remember, this is the period of the boom, when, in general, people's standard of living is getting better. And so when Ken Loach makes this film about poor people who have nowhere to live, it's very shocking. And he continues with two other films, Poor Cow. Ce qui servit un peu pauvre con, comme dirait l'autre. And Family Life. And these films really, in some ways, are very similar to Kes, which we saw an extract from, Kes, but perhaps even more depressing. Perhaps even more depressing. In Kes, for the first time, Ken Loach decides that you need something to help the message. You need some humour, You need some music. You need something beautiful, a bird, okay? You need something which it will help the message to get across. The very early films are can be extremely depressing. And this will continue. You will see that some of the later films of Ken Loach, even though they continue to show very difficult situations, very often they show humor and the capacity to survive. And certainly one of the aims of Ken Loach is to show ordinary people in the cinema and to be positive about them. Yeah, that even though you see in Ken Loach's films, you see working class people in difficult situations, in general they are good people. Yeah, and that's part of his message. Yeah, and people who don't like Ken Loach criticizing for two reasons. Some people say it's too depressing, we don't want to see that on the cinema. And other critics of Ken Loach accuse him of idealizing the workers, of showing too much solidarity, courage, etc. And of course, this is a matter of opinion. Everybody has their own opinion. That's another problem. But that's the debate for Ken Loach. He says, there are too many films about rich people. I want to show ordinary people and how they survive. And the critics can say either that's too depressing, or, well, you're idealizing it. All of your working class characters are very good people. The third criticism, which is aimed at Ken Loach, with perhaps some justification, is that for a long time, all of his films are about white working class men. This is because this is what he. His explanation is that this is what he knows. This is the atmosphere he knows. But one of the results will be a little later, and we'll see this in a couple of weeks' time. Some directors will want to make films about black British people, about Indian British people, and so on. And they will suggest that Ken Loach has written about miners, etc. But of course, miners in Britain are almost all white because it's a very traditional section of the working class. And so some people will say, please give me a break. If you're going to arrive late, at least manage to keep quiet when you arrive. Thank you. There will be new films about the different immigrant communities. And Ken Loach himself will later attack this question, in particular with Just a Kiss. Je crois que c'est traduit en français en gardant le même titre d'ailleurs. Il y a deux, trois ans, Just a Kiss, which is about the relationship between a Scottish man and a Muslim Indian woman, I think, if I remember correctly. And is interesting because it's the first time really that Ken Loach looks at this question, and also because life has changed as well. It's probably the most romantic of his films. His films are not necessarily so romantic at the beginning. Ken Loach makes a very large number of films, some of them about history, about the Spanish Civil War or about the Irish War of Independence. One of them about Nicaragua, and others about the hard life of ordinary people in different parts of the country. And you have in the booklet, you have interviews with Ken Loach and some of his justifications. That's very, very important. Let's have a quick look at Ken Russell. A very different style of work, not so social intent. He begins on the BBC. Yeah, he begins working for television, and he will become. In fact, he begins by making television programs about music, about musicians, about classical musicians, and this will lead to a couple of famous films. A film called Marla, 1974, a biography of Marla. Yes, so not an English subject, a biography of Marla. And Tommy, in 1975. I may show you some of this in the next couple of weeks. Tommy, interesting film, a musical. It is advertised as the first rock opera. Yeah, so it wanted to be a rock opera. And it called itself the first rock opera. In reality, there probably wasn't a second. Yes, it was not a form which was so successful. Yes, absolutely. Yes, the music was by The Who. And it's a very interesting story, in fact, because Ken Russell is an old gentleman, a real gentleman who went to Oxford University, and one day the guitarist from The Who phoned him up and said, "Would you like to direct a film based on our album, Tommy. They wrote an album called Tommy, and Ked Russell said, "The Who?" Because he knew nothing about rock music. He knew Mahler, he knew Mozart, he knew Beethoven, but he found this was an interesting idea, and so they worked together, very, very bizarre alliance of The Who, Peter Townsend, and the Young Rebels, and this old gentleman, and produced Tommy, which is a kind of allegory about a sort of rock star who becomes a sort of Jesus Christ figure. And although this did not result in a long series of rock operas, it became very influential. Okay. So, in the 1970s, British cinema is in a difficult situation. Very, very difficult situation. On the one hand, American films are, again, ultra-dominant. This is Star Wars, Disney, disaster movies. This is what's making the money. This is what people want to see on the cinema. On the other hand, television is massive competition. You have the television in the 1950s, you have the first televisions, but in the 1960s and 1970s, little by little, almost everybody has a television. And so it is difficult for Britain, for British films, to find their position. And they do nevertheless manage to revive it again by using what we call today niche. So niche is simply try to find a specific type of film which is successful for Britain. And this is what we've been looking at over the last few weeks. British comedies, British social realist films, British traditional films. That is to say that British cinema does not try to compete against Rambo, Star Wars. You don't get the same kind of film, because it's not possible, they don't have the money. But they try to specialize. They try to specialize in social realism around Ken Loach and others, in comedy, Monty Python and others. In traditional films, the novels of Jane Austen and others. And that's probably still the case today, that Britain is successful in, that the British cinema is successful in surviving by specialising, and a very, very high level of specialisation. But today I want to look at something a little different. Niche is a concept, yeah, niche marketing. We call it niche marketing. Niche marketing means that you don't want to sell to everybody. You want to sell to a specific group of people. So, for example, if you make bags specially marketed for young students, you know, like Eastpak, that's niche marketing. You don't try to sell to everybody. You try to sell to a particular group. Okay. So, but I want to look today at a slightly exceptional. That's the history. I want to look today at a slightly exceptional phenomenon, and I'll probably do it. Okay. I'll probably do it the other way around. And this is, of course, the biggest, from a commercial point of view, the biggest phenomenon in British cinema, and this is the James Bond series. So James Bond series. Now, I don't want to say too much about it because I want to show you it and ask you some questions. I hope that you will come to some of the conclusions. First of all, let's say the first James Bond film is in 1962, and as you know, it still continues today. The last James Bond was 2 years ago, I think. 2 years ago. Now, this is very interesting. The first in 62, and the most recent in 2005 or 2006. Now, if you like James Bond or you don't like James Bond, I'm not interested. Yeah? The thing is, what does it mean? What does the James Bond film series mean? First of all, let's notice that this is a rather impressive success. 45 years of a series of films with fundamentally the same concept, extremely difficult to do in a world which is changing very, very quickly. Secondly, maintaining a very much a British atmosphere in these films. So we're going to see if we can look a little bit at how they work, why they are successful, and like I say, it's not important if you like them or not, that's not the problem. And thirdly, where do they fit in as the representation of Britain? What is British about them? Okay. So that's where I want to start with. I want to start with some questions. I'll just regulate.